Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Well, last week we only got about three verses of this, and so we'll try to get a little further, if at all possible, but we will start reading verse 1, read down to it, so we can get to where we were going, sort of get a groundwork there. And we were referring to, in chapter 15, just all it is practical Christian living, practical things for us now that we're saved. You have to realize that most of these churches around, all they get is John 3:16 on Sunday morning, John 3:16 on Sunday night, and John 3:16 on Wednesday night. Now, that's all well and good in the sense, but after there's some people here on a Wednesday night that is saved, they've been saved for a good while, they need a little something more than John 3:16. Nothing against John 3:16, but you need more than just salvation all the time. You need more than just go win people to the Lord, go win people to the Lord. And we should go win people to the Lord, but you need more than that all the time. You need some stuff just for practical Christian living, just for you and me. Stuff like what's found in verse 1 and 2 and 3 about bearing one another's burdens. We give the illustration last week about the piano. That piano's very heavy for one person. It's very heavy for two people. Three, ten. You get 10, 15 people around that piano, and it's not that heavy anymore. It still weighs the same, but you got more people under it toting the load. And the more people you have under the burden of care, then it's a whole lot easier to tote that load, or carry that load rather. And we give the illustration last week about how many times we've heard this said. I do not know how how an unsafe person gets through such and such. Or I don't know how an unsafe person can just make it through without a church family. You need a church family. You need a church to love you. Yes, we do. Now, sometimes we miss stuff. Guess what? Y'all may not know this, but write this down in your Bible somewhere. I am human just like everybody else. I forget to call sometime when you stub your toe. I do forget to call sometime when you have a hangnail. And I apologize. Sometime I forget to do that. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the seriousness of the burden. You need somebody you can call on. You need a church family you can call on to help you carry that load. That's what Paul is saying here in verse 1. That are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Boy, ain't that something. We live in a society now that everybody wants to please themselves. Verse number 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. You ought to care what your neighbor thinks. You ought to care some things about, you know, we have this attitude now, well, I don't care what my neighbor thinks. I'm going to do what I want. I know I'm going to stand before God one day. I'll give an account for my own self. I'm not hurting anybody but myself. You may be surprised who all you're hurting. You ought to care what your neighbor thinks about spiritual matters about you. Verse number 3, for even Christ, watch this, please not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproacheth thee fell on me. Paul quotes an Old Testament passage, and that's okay to do every now and then. Paul did it in his writings. He quoted from the Old Testament, and it's okay to do that. And so he quotes that, talking about Christ pleased not himself. Let me read you this verse, and this is where we actually got to last week, talking about bearing the reproach of others as Christ. What did Christ do for you and I? He bore our infirmities on the cross of Calvary. He did that because he loved us. It wasn't because we were worthy. It wasn't because we deserved it. He was not doing something to us because we deserved it. So turn that around to the spiritual. Sometimes you help people bear their infirmities, not because they deserve it, maybe. Maybe they've done you wrong in some way. But even as Christ done to you, then we, as spiritual people, ought to not decide whether we're going to help someone out according if we like them or not, or whether they're one of our best friends or not, or if they're our friend on Facebook or not, or they're... Well, I'm only going to help them because they're my friend. Well, you better be glad Jesus didn't differentiate between his friends and the whole world. I'm glad he died for the whole world. And so that's what he was referring to. Now watch this. I want to read this right here. Matthew 20 and verse 28. Even, and I'm going to read it to you because just for time's sake. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now watch. Jesus did not come to this earth to be ministered unto. He come to minister to others. That's what Paul is saying here in verse 1, 2, and 3. It is our job to minister to others. That's why I say sometimes the church as a whole, not necessarily this, but the churches as a whole, people go and they look for churches based upon what the church can do for them. But we need some people that will come and say, hey, I want to do something for you. Well, I was hoping for a little more response than that. We go, well, what can this church do for me? What can this church? And I know we got the programs, we got the Bible Institute, and we're trying to help people and minister to people. But sometimes we need some people to come in here and say, hey, I want to join this church. I'm ready to go to work. I'm not really concerned about what you can do for me. I'm ready to minister and minister to other people. Here's my ministry. This is what I want to do. That's what it's all about. Christ didn't come to this world to be ministered to. He wasn't coming saying, hey, I want to look, see what the world can do for me. No, he said, I'm coming to see what I can do for them. And he died a ransom so many could, or everybody could be saved that would believe. Now this is where we got to. Verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime. Now, you know what that is. That's Old Testament stuff. It was written aforetime. Before time. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Number one, circle learning. That we through patience, that's number two, circle patience. And comfort, that's three. The comfort of the Scriptures might have hope, that's four. You know what I can get out of the Old Testament? I can get learning, I can get patience, I can get comfort, and I can get hope. Now, the Apostle Paul wasn't a hyper-dispensationalist. He wasn't a hyper. He felt comfortable quoting the Old Testament. We're going to try to help some people now. I'm going to try to help. That's what my job is, try to help some people. If you can't get something out of the Old Testament, I mean, breathing started in the Old Testament. Somebody help me. Well, I ain't going to get nothing unless it's in this right here. My friend, don't fall off in the ditch. Paul quoted from the Old Testament. He said the Old Testament was written for our learning, our patience. You say, preacher, how do I get patience out of the Old Testament? You might want to try reading Job. Try reading Job, and that'll help you get some patience out of the Old Testament. Comfort. You say, where am I? Where in the world in the Old Testament am I going to get some comfort? Try Psalms. Psalm 51 might be a good place to start. When you read about a man that had failed God, had sinned against God, and this man is pouring his heart out to God and says, purge me with hyssop, cleanse me from within, search my heart, O God, cleanse me and search me, you know, and on he goes. Well, I can get some comfort with that, because if he can still use Samson, if he can still use David, if he can still use Abraham, if he can still use them, there's hope for me. Amen. That Old Testament is good. You can find typology out of the Old Testament. That's what Paul is saying. The Old Testament was written. I think 1 Corinthians 10 says it was written for our admonition. Admonition, same word, admonish. Admonish. You ought to admonish the brother. How do you admonish the brother? Find some good old stories in the Old Testament. Preach the fire out of them. There's nothing wrong with it. We find comfort. We find hope. And then this is what he said. I got to show you this. This is great. Look at verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, written for our learning, patience, comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Look at verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. He said the Scriptures give us patience, they give us comfort, they give us hope. Verse 5 says, the God of patience and consolation. Consolation, another word for comfort. God's Word gives comfort in verse 4. God Himself gives patience or comfort in verse 5. You say, man, I'd love to see God.
Amen.
You looking at Him? His Word gives patience and comforts in verse 4. God Himself gives patience and comforts in verse 5. They're one and the same. That's God. Say, oh, I just won't see God. No, but walk by faith and not by sight. Where do I get faith in God?
Right.
Hallelujah. Look at verse 5. Now the God of patience, consolation, consoling. Same word, console, comfort, consolation. Grant you to be like-minded one toward another. Like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Like-minded. Has anybody ever known anybody to be like-minded in a Baptist church? Has anybody ever known somebody snorted on that one? Has anybody ever known anybody to be like-minded in a Baptist church? But this is what he said. He said, this is what I want for you. The God of patience, consolation, grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Now, like-mindedness. And then verse 6, he says that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that does not mean one singular. That means all of us being one. All of us with one mouth saying the same thing. All of us with one mind. What is it? Philippians chapter 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Right.
We ought to have the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, I have the mind of Christ. Guess what? We ought to be like-minded. Now, here's where I have the problem. Churches will argue and fuss and nitpick and about whether the pews ought to be padded on the front and the back or just the front. They will argue if the steeple ought to go here or if it go on the side over here, or they'll argue about the side of the piano. I don't like it here. We started out with it in the middle when we first started. Everybody's fussing because they couldn't see Mark. That's why we put it back here. Miss Bonnie, his mother, sitting right back there, this is what she said. She said, if it wasn't for Mark or Tracy, you wouldn't have nobody to cut jokes on. And so we moved it over there. And one of these, I guess we'll probably have to move and swap it over here sometime. But they'll fuss and bicker and gripe and fuss between themselves to watch. and won't say one word about an NIV, won't say one word about the New American Standard Bible. That don't bother them about that. We just concerned about the pews being padded. That's worth fighting over. What Bible you use, just bring any you want. We're concerned about the pews. Paul says, let's get like-minded on stuff that matters. That does not mean that every one of us in this room are going to always agree on every little thing. Some people think, you know, this, that, and the other. Some people, you know, well, you ought not wear hats in the sanctuary. And some people, you know, as long as you're not wearing one while service is going on, I don't care. You know, is that worth it? Not worth it to me. Not even worth discussing. You don't discuss the Bible? Let's get like-minded on that. You see what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Well, anyway, that went over pretty good. I heard a statement said this, said Christians should major on the majors and minor on the minors. If it's major, fight for it. If it's minor, you may not want to. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, verse 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Boy, ain't that something. Y'all know y'all are supposed to receive one another like Christ received you. Look, well, so-and-so made me mad. Well, what have you done to Christ? Yeah, that's right. He still died for you, I think so. Yeah. You know, hallelujah. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now watch this. Hold your place. Turn to John 13. I'll show you this. John 13. John 13, 34. John 13. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. How do you say love? Love like I loved you. No conditions. No string holds. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't come there and said, okay, I'm going to die for you if... Now, I'll die for you if you'll always serve me. He went ahead and died for you, whether you serve him or not. He died for you whether you're nice to him or not. How are we supposed... Boy, it's hurting me too. You turn that thing around. How are we supposed to love one another? Sometimes you just... Look, I tell people this all the time. Some people just need to learn to do this. You ever been eating? You get crumbs on you? All of mine catch right there for some reason. You look down. Brush it off. It's crumbs. All right, I had another one. Hang on. That didn't go over too good. All right, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Go the other direction. Ephesians 4. Well, not really. Yeah. Ephesians 4. And verse... Now, John, what was it? John 13 says, love one another as Christ loved you. All right, you ready? Ephesians 4, it gets worse. 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, my Lord. It's getting worse. We need to stop hunting Scripture. Be ye kind. Have you ever heard this? Now, I love them because the Bible says I got to love them, but I sure don't like them. I've said that. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. I have trouble with that. I'll be honest, tenderhearted. Tenderhearted. That's tough. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Boy, I'm glad the Lord forgave me. I probably didn't deserve, there ain't no problem about it. I didn't deserve forgiveness. But he sent it my way anyway. Well, I got one more to make us really feel good. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3:13. This all matches Romans 15 here. Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another. Now, that's sort of like getting under the piano and helping carry the load. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's tough, ain't it? So the next time you say, well, I wonder, ain't all this big thing about forgiveness. Well, should I forgive them or should I not? I don't think Christ ever was sitting in there going, Lord, do you think we'll forgive them or not? I mean, you think about, and just forget about you, just think. I'm thinking to myself, all the stuff that the Lord, because he knows everything, right? And he looks over my life and he goes, you know, I wonder if I were to go down there and forgive him. That's tough, ain't it? Tough for me. All right, let's deal with about two more verses. Verse 8. Because I don't want to be accused of only be doing three verses a night. Verse 8 of Romans 15. Now, here's where we'll have to finish up. Now, I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Now, right, watch this. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Does everybody know who the circumcision is? That is the Jewish people. Right. Jesus was the minister to the Jews. If you'll, Matthew 10, I think, says, Jesus said, I am come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Right. He was a Jewish preacher. He was preaching to the Jews the kingdom of heaven. That was his ministry. His ministry was to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Promises. Watch. Jews appealed to God on the basis of promises. Get it? Verse 8. Get it? Get it? Get it. Jews appealed to God. Man, y'all gonna love this. Jews appeal to God on the basis of promises. A Jew wants to come to God, they turn and go, God, right here you promised. There's another promise. There's another promise. Now read verse 9. Aren't you glad there's ands in the Bible? And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his, what? Hallelujah. On a Wednesday night, hallelujah. Verse 8, the Jews appeal to God on the basis of promises. Gentiles, we come to God on the basis of mercy. I'm feeling just a little something on that. He said, aren't you glad Jesus wasn't a hyper dispensationalist? If Jesus would have been a hyper, he'd have stopped at verse 8. I only come to minister to the Jews. But verse 9 says, and that the Gentiles might glorify. That's how they appeal to me through mercy. You're looking at me like you don't believe me. Okay. Real quick, Matthew 15, real quick, Matthew 15, and we'll be done. I feel a little something on this.
Go ahead.
Y'all understand what I mean when I say that? Listen, if you're saved and you don't feel something, on Monday mornings I don't feel saved. I feel lost as a goose on Monday morning. Drained all day Sunday, and you just on Monday morning you're like, I ain't even saved no more. But every now and then, you start opening the Bible and say, whoo, hallelujah.
Yeah.
You start feeling a little something. Yeah. It's not based on feeling, but it sure is good to have a little feeling every now and then.
Amen.
So there's nothing wrong with feeling. Some of you ought to get a little feeling.
Yeah.
People worry me when they do. And you just say about the mercies of God, the mercy. I'm worried about you. I got to hurry. We got a prayer request to do. Matthew 15, verse 21. Jesus went thence, departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. Hey. This woman of Canaan, she's a Gentile woman. Unto him saying, hallelujah. This woman couldn't appeal to God on the promises. She couldn't go to the Old Testament and go, Jesus, you promised. She came to him and said, would you have mercy on me? That's when Jesus said, I ain't come with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 24. 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread, the Jews' bread, and to cast it to the dogs. The promises are for the children. The children eat the bread on the table. This woman said, you sure told the truth. That's in the Greek now. You sure enough told the truth there when you said it, Master. Yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from the Master's Jewish table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
Amen.
That lady's daughter was healed before she got back to the house.
Right.
Why? It wasn't on the promises.
Amen.
She couldn't go to the Old Testament and go, look, Lord, you promised. That's how the Jews appeal to it. This woman says, I don't have a verse to go to. I'm just asking you to have a little mercy.
Amen.
On the dogs that's just getting a little crumbs, the leftovers.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for mercy?
Amen.
Well, let's stop there because I'm feeling pretty good on that. If I go any further, I might mess it up. Listen, aren't you glad just to be a dog? Now, some of you won't say that. Preacher, I ain't no dog.